and I can make it sit beside her. And I can let her experience what it is to know there's a part of her child that's there for Mother's Day. And my mama told me, she said, Troy, you tell her that I don't want you to get me anything for Mother's Day. Said, I actually got a gift on Mother's Day 17 years ago. It's a Sunday when I had it. It's the same date and everything. She said, you gave me a gift of life. And they gave me something that nobody else could give. She said, I don't want anything this year. Don't buy me anything. That's a commandment. Never had my mama really give me many commandments, but she gave me one today. She said, don't buy me anything. She said, the night her two sons died, she never got a Mother's Day card. She never got anything except heartache and sorrow. So you give her what you can give her. And you let her know you love her. And so I did today, and it was a wonderful experience to be with her. And I'm very thankful for that. But I've got something, and I probably will share some of my testimony. Maybe I won't. But I really feel something burdened on my heart tonight that I want to preach if the Lord would allow us. If you got your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Very familiar scripture here. I know, and I apologize, I didn't even realize, still got a cough drop in my mouth, amen? I appreciate Sister Maldy. She come over there coughing my lungs up, and she said, here. I don't know if she was worried about everybody catching it or if she was worried about me, but either way, thank you, amen? I've wrestled with a little bit of a upper respiratory infection, but I've been taking a box for 48 hours, so I'm clear, thank the Lord, as far as being contagious is concerned. But you know what? That's part of the race of life. We get sick. We have pains. We have sorrows. That's just in the race, man. When you run a race, if you'll ever watch people run in a race, then they got hurdles they got to jump over. Sometimes they hit them. Sometimes they trip and fall. But I ain't never seen one that get back up. They tend to always get back up and jump over the next one. If they hit another one and fall, they get up again. They're determined to get to the finish line. Doesn't matter how many they hit. Doesn't matter how many trip them up. They're going to get to the finish line if it kills them. They're going. Amen. And that's what we want to try to cover tonight. By the help of the Lord, I've seen some things in the scripture I want to bring out. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you'll stand please. I want to read two verses and pray that the Lord would help us by the help of the Lord. And I pray it anoint us. It's one thing to preach, but it's another thing to preach with power. And that's what I feel like. I've prayed many times. I guess because when I heard Jack Hiles one time, he laid over his steady screen. He said, God, I don't ever want to preach another message without power. I don't even want to step in the pulpit without power. He said, I don't want to do it, Lord. He said, as I laid over my daddy's grave from that day forward, I never preached without power. I thought, God, what is it going to take? But you know what it took? He said, whatever it takes, God, to get me out power you, I want it. Yeah. Took his daddy's life. Sometimes it takes more than we want to give. But God wants us to have power with him. The Bible says in chapter number 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be seated if you would pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow as humbly as we know how, God, I realize, Lord, that I'm nothing but an earthen vessel. And God, there's nothing I can do, Lord, without you. And God, I'd love to, God, remember the things that you've brought back to our remembrance, the things that we've studied. Lord, I wish you'd bring them to us. But God, more importantly, I want to feel your presence. More importantly, Lord, I want to be anointed by you. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight, guide us and direct us. For your honor and your glory, Lord, I pray you'd use us, Lord. I pray that, God, when the message is over, Lord, you'd move and you'd touch hearts. And I pray you'd draw the transgressor, Lord. If there's anybody in our midst, they've been saved, Lord. I pray tonight be the night that they accept you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bible gives us that of an account here. Prior to this, he allows us to see through the scriptures the hall of fame of the faithful. Now, I realize prior to this, we preached on it here a while back, and we basically covered the description of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, you'll find the writer has described faith. But when you get to verse 4 through 40, he starts demonstrating faith. Amen. And you'll find that as he goes through the list, you'll find that faith starts to worship God in verse number 4 with Abel. And then in verse number 5 and 6, you'll find faith walking with Enoch. Verse number 7, you'll find faith working with Noah. And then when you get down to verse number 8, you'll through verse 22, faith is waiting on the promises of God. Then you get to Moses and find faith warring. Then you get down to that of Joseph and all of the saints of God and that of Rahab, and you'll find faith winning. Faith is an action word. And we cover the chapter 11, I guess, in a brief synopsis. But now we're in verse number 1 of chapter 12. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed. In other words, there must have been other people prior to this that had this same experience. He says, we are also compassed about with so great, that means a large fast. So numerous you really can't number it, amen? And he says there's a cloud of witness. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to preach by the help of God, if the Lord would allow me, just for a few minutes, on the race of a lifetime. Now, this is race is not like any other race. When he mentions the word race, it's an Olympic term. It's not just any race. It's a race that covers many cultures, many countries. And he said there's a race that we're going to be in when we get born again that is not just excluded to a certain party. There'll be a lot of people there. And he said that this race, you'll find there's a great number there. There's never been a race anywhere in this world that's held more spectators than this race. If you would listen and you would have it, the stands are full. There's not an empty seat anywhere. It's not only contained of humanity or terrestrial beings, but also celestial. And be of all things, the Creator is a watching this race. No man has ever watched a race more important than the man that's watching this race. You've got celestial beings, angels. You also have that of those that martyred for Christ, and they're watching the race that we're talking about today. You'll find that I thought about Stephen this afternoon. I don't know if you've ever watched many races. But one thing you'll notice is down to the end of it, everybody for some reason tends to get on their feet. Amen. They don't mind sitting through the entire race, but towards the finish line, for some reason, that laziness gets out of them, and they stand up and start shouting, run, go. You know what's amazing to me? When Stephen died, the Bible said he, being filled of the Holy Ghost, looked up towards heaven and seen God standing. I don't know about you, but I know that Stephen was at the end of the race. I could see God standing at the very end saying, go, go, go. You're almost there. But can I say this? If God stood for the race, I promise you every angelic being was standing that day. I promise you every martyr of Christ was standing that day as they watched James run the race that was set before him and finished it. As he hit the finish line, everybody's yelling, go, Stephen, go. Job, I know, had spectators. If there was any betting in that world that day, I'm sure the world would have bet on Satan because of all his powers. They just didn't know who was coaching Job. He just didn't have anybody. The God of glory, the Creator, was a coaching Job. You know who makes the runner? The coach. The runner ain't nothing without the coach, man. See, Satan didn't have a coach. He thought he could do it without a coach. He thought, I don't need anybody. I don't need God to tell me why I can run this race. What he didn't realize was everybody that runs this race got to have a coach. Job picked the right one. Can I say this? And I'm not saying God's a betting man, but if he was, I bet his money was on Job. I bet if anybody was a betting that day, and God don't bet, don't misunderstand me. But his money was on Job, man. Everything he had was on the runner that he had put in the race. He knew he would win it. Oh, when Satan said, you take everything from him, he won't run the race. What he didn't realize, what he done entered it. He wasn't planning on quitting it, man. He done entered the race, and he was determined to finish it. And so, number one, I want to say, have you entered this race? Have you ever signed up for it? There's a lot of people talking about running, but when it comes down to it, they don't even sign up. You know, there's plenty of people in the Olympics that plan on going to the Olympics, but the very last moment they get hurt, maybe their toe hurts, they get a little cramp, whatever, and they just bail out and don't even go to the Olympics. Why? They got some excuse, I'm not going to go. Something has kept them from entering the race. I don't know what's kept you from entering, but whatever it is, I'd get it out of the way. Whatever it is, I'd put it aside. I don't care what it is, you go on. And you run. I know a lot of people talk about the Blade Runner. I know he's got a lot of things against him. One thing he had for him, without two legs, nothing to run with, nothing but blades on, they called him the Blade Runner. You know what? He could have had every excuse in the world not to go to the Olympics. But he went anyways. He said, I ain't got two legs functioning. I got little sticks with little rods on them. But I'm going to run with it, amen. And he entered the race and he ran. You know what? He may have won, he may not have won. But one thing everybody noticed is who he was. He caught the world's attention. You know what? I don't remember anybody that ran that Olympic, not a soul. And I don't even remember his name, a little bit I do. But I remember the Blade Runner. There's a lot said about him. Because, see, he seemingly entered the race crippled. He entered the race as the underdog. But, son, he sure didn't look like one when he went to running. I never even noticed hardly his handicap. He's like, man, where's his handicap at? I couldn't even see it. I thought, man, he could outrun any man if he put his mind to it. One of the fastest men in the world, running with no two legs. I tell you something, Satan's going to try to knock your legs out from under you. He's going to try to do everything he can to get you to stop. He's going to try everything he can to get you to not enter this race. But I can tell you one thing. Those that enter it will wish to God and thank the Lord in heaven that they did. And those that don't will wish to God they did. So are you in the race? Notice this. The Bible talks about two things. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. Now, what you must notice is this weight is an outward thing. The sin is an inward thing. And so what he's trying to say is, lay those things on the outside, lay them down. And the things on the inside, get them out. He said, I don't care what it is, but you better get it off and get it out and start running, amen, this race. So, number one, are you in it? Number two, are you even prepared for the race you got in? There's a lot of Christians in the race and they're not prepared for it. They're not listening to the coach. He's trying to tell them. Have you ever heard a coach that's yelling and screaming? I thought I heard one here a while back, and I thought, my goodness, if that was my daughter, she'd never play sports. That man was giving them down to Cole. He was yelling and screaming and telling them what to do, what not to do. But I tell you this, when they listened to the coach, I noticed they got better. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't even like the tone he was saying it in. But I've noticed once they did what he said, they got better at it. And so the coach is trying to train us. He's trying to give us encouragement. He's on the sidelines. Now, I know you've watched that movie many times. Some of you, I'm sure, are facing giants. I can't even watch that movie, Harley. gets me tore up. Amen. I just can't watch it. I'm honest with you. I've watched it two or three times, and I'm found, Lord, I don't know if I can watch that again. I can't help it. It gets me tore up. I want to run, do something, man. When they're on his back, and he said, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Go, man, go. Everything inside of me wants me to run around a cul-de-sac, scream and holler. Say, I'm going, but where am I going? Like Abraham. Sent him out, said, go, go, go. Abraham went to run and didn't even know where he was headed. He just got fired up and wanted to go. God gave him 4 commandments, 7 promises, and there he went. And he headed out for Jesus. Wonder how many of you are prepared for the race. Have you entered it? Are you prepared? And I wonder, number 3, we'll come to a close. Are you motivated? What is motivating you to run the race? Every runner that's ever entered any race has something that's motivating them. I promise you, when they win, they'll say, what is it? What caused you to do this? What has prepared you? Blah, blah, blah. They always, almost always give something that motivated them to go. And there's always a need for a motivation, especially for Christians. Some of us got certain motivational things that set us on fire. I got a book at home, and it's like about 200 or something motivational speakers, and they give all their explanations. Some of them's good. I ain't never had one get me more to run more than the Bible. You know what I like? What Brother Joe Alexander, I was hearing him the other night. Now, I love what he said. He said this. He said, I love it when I get to read the Bible. But I love it more when the Bible starts reading me. Amen. And so I'm glad when God begins to read my life and challenge me. And so what's motivating you? The Bible says this, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher for our faith, he's who's motivating me. I got my eyes on him, man. I'm heading that way. And I'm determined. No matter how many times I get knocked down, get bruises, get this and that. I know my little daughter, she's failed several times. She's busted her chin and, she got tore up. I said, sweetie, that ain't going to be the first time she bumps her chin. That ain't going to be the first time she falls. I know it looks bad, but I can tell you this. She's going to keep on going, and she's going to learn there's certain things you just can't do. And so, what's motivating you? He said, for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What did he do? He endured the cross and despised the shame. Why? Because there was something set before him. Every race has a finish line. Every race has a trophy. Every race has some type of money attached to it. Every race, nobody runs a race if they ain't going to get nothing, man. Everybody's running for the prize. You know why they run? No matter how much they... I think about those that say, well, I felt like quitting on miles such and such. Well, what made you go a little further? Well, that's just something motivated me. That's something I got to thinking about. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I forgot that I was hurting. The more I forgot that there's pain in my life. The more I forgot that I couldn't breathe hardly. I just remembered there was something said before me that I had to get to. So there's a reward there. Set before him, even Jesus himself, there was joy set before him. He despised and ran the race. I wonder, have you entered it? Are you prepared for it? And what's motivating you to even run it? Are you going to finish it? Or are you going to quit? You know what I've noticed? Me and Brother Jeff talked the other night. There's a lot of Christian people that's bailing out of the race. A lot of them. And it's got me to the point that I told my wife the other night, I said, man, it's almost depressing sometimes if you think about it. I wonder, is it going to be me? Is this going to happen to me? Is there something that's going to be so devastating that's going to cause me to quit? I said, sweetie, we got to pray. We got to stay on our knees. We got to understand there is a prize set before us. And I'm heading for it. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get there. When I enter the race, this is the only race I know that you enter and you don't know how many miles you're going to have to run. Amen. Every race always tells you how many miles you're going to run. This is the only one you ain't got a clue how far you got to go. One thing you do know is there is a prize at the end. And it motivates me to go on. When I've been late at night and when I was young and my transplant, right before my transplant, after my transplant, I'd sit there and be depressed or maybe let things get me down. And I remember even, and I'll share this, I'll come to a close, when I was in the waiting room right after the, not the waiting room, I was actually in ICU after my transplant, about 2 days in. I was on so much morphine, man, I didn't know my name. The room was bouncing up and sat down. I called Daddy in. I said, Daddy, man, something's wrong. He said, what? I said, the room beside me is a moving, man. It's a bouncing up. He says, just the medicine. I said, yeah, but I don't like it. And a lot of things we don't like. There's a lot of things we're going to go through. It's going to hurt. And I want you to know, the devil, when Daddy left the room, he entered and he said, look, you've never been saved. If God loved you, he wouldn't put you through this. He put everything he could ever imagine in my head. Boy, there for a split second, I almost entertained the thought. And I'm telling you, God done something for me that I've never experienced in my life. He brought back the very feeling I got the day I got saved. How he done it, I don't know. Why he done it, I still can't tell. I tell you this, he began to pour all of heaven on me. I said, I don't know how in the world God could love me when he's moving all the way inside. For somebody that don't love you, he sure has took up a lot of space. And he's inside of me, and he's welling in me. I said, devil, I'm sorry, I can't believe you. Something's moving in me. And it ain't you. Tell you something. God has given us a great race. And we've got some of the greatest spectators throughout the entire universe watching. I wonder what you're going to do with it. You're going to run it? You're going to finish it? You're going to just quit? Anybody can quit it, man. It takes nothing for a man to quit. But it takes everything for a man to keep running. Don't stop. Say, bring a verse of song. I wonder I'm done. I wonder tonight. You run in that race, it's a race of a lifetime. You know, they always have qualifying races before the main race. And that, there's a few people show up. Sometimes they may have a crowd. There's always that one race that everybody's there. Everybody's watching it. And this one's greater than that one. All of the universe is watching, wanting to know how you're going to finish or if you're going to finish. Satan would like nothing more to destroy every human being in this church. He would like nothing more than to take every runner and make him quit running. And I wonder tonight, what are you going to do with it? You got a great cloud of witnesses watching you. Oh, some would say, well, I know the lost world's watching me. Hey, they are. But there's more important people than lost people watching you. There's a heavenly host watching and seeing what you're going to do. You know why that's the Bible said that the angels wanted to look into what we got. You know why they did? Because they had more power than any of us. But when they seen us run a race that they never thought we could finish, they said, they've got something we ain't got. We've got power. We're above them. But they've got something inside of them greater than what we got. They wanted to look into what we had. Why? Because there was a fire lit in us one day that is yet to go out. It's pushing us, and it's pushing us. When everybody else should quit. I think I mentioned it a few Sundays ago. Job himself wanted to quit. Oh, sure he did. Everybody thought, well, he should quit. Satan said, if I put enough heaviness on him, he'll quit. He don't know the scriptures. Oh, he knows it a little bit, but the Bible tells us the heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop. Makes it worship. It makes it bow down. Makes it go prostrate. But a good word maketh it glad. Everybody wants to be glad. Everybody wants to have a good word. Oh, everybody wants to be told a good thing. But you know what God said? It's heaviness that makes people worship. It's heaviness. And that's why in the second chapter, when he lost everything he had, he bowed and began to worship. His heart was so heavy that he went down and he began to worship the creator of this earth. I wonder, I'm done. Are you in the race? Are you in it? Have you prepared yourself?